This podcast is supported by Emerson. At Emerson, we see breakthrough medicines getting to patients in record time. Our automation software is empowering pharmaceutical companies to accelerate their production of critical vaccinations for the world. Emerson, consider it solved.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, September 2nd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Many companies are struggling to find workers, and that could give job seekers an advantage. But that advantage rests on their ability to successfully navigate the process, from identifying a job they want to applying all the way to salary negotiation. And it turns out men and women tend to go through the process differently and often meet with different results.
And so I constantly tell women, stretch yourself. You know, there's a level of bravery that's associated with applying for a job that you're not fully qualified for.
Coming up, we'll talk about the differences between how men and women approach finding and landing a job with HR executive and career coach Amy Zimmerman. That's after the break.
This podcast is supported by Emerson. When you look at the critical issues facing our world, what do you see? We see breakthrough medicines getting to patients in record time and smarter software delivering cleaner power. We see access to fresh food being the global norm and our technology being the engine driving all of it. From vaccine production to integrating renewable energy to keeping perishable food safe across the cold chain, Emerson is there. Because creating a better world isn't just a result, it's a responsibility. Emerson, consider it solved.
Trying to find a job isn't easy. There's finding a position that suits your experience with the right salary range, and work-life balance is important too. But how you approach each stage of the job-seeking process can make or break your chances of being hired. Amy Zimmerman is a career coach and chief people officer at the fintech startup Relay Payments. She's been studying how men and women approach the job-seeking process differently each step of the way. Amy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, JR.
So Amy, let's start with what do we know about how men and women approach applying for jobs differently?
You know, so there's a ton of research, and my experience certainly supports it, but there is a good bit of data that men and women approach applying for jobs very differently. I think there's, you know, certainly the whole nurture thing with regard to how men are raised versus or how boys are raised into men and likewise for women. And I think there's a level of confidence. I think there's a level of competition. I think there's a number of things that play into it. But there's a ton of research that suggests that men will typically apply for jobs that they are potentially 50% unqualified for as kind of a stretch versus women. And I would say also people of color, other minorities that either don't have the same level of confidence or just not comfortable stretching in the same way, and usually require checking almost every box to feel comfortable enough to apply for the same job.
And so what is the effect of that?
I think there's a level of career opportunity and growth that plays in. I think it's got a big part to do with how people negotiate for salaries in terms of worth and comfort and how people stack up against peers. I think bias plays into it, and sometimes it starts with the person, right? I don't know if I'm qualified for the job, therefore I'm not going to apply for it. But what I would challenge people on is if you were 100% qualified for a job, you probably should be applying for the next job, right? Because where's the challenge? Where's the stretch if you check every single box?
Now, you mentioned salary negotiation. I want to get to that in a couple of moments, but let's talk about the point in the process after someone applies for the job and then they're brought in for a job interview. Now, you've been hiring people for 25 years. You advise people in your role as a career coach. What is one of the first impressions or the differences that we see in terms of men and women presenting themselves during a job interview?
These are a lot of generalizations. There's exceptions to all of the rules. But we certainly see a level of confidence from men in roles that they aren't fully qualified for or don't have all of the experience for very differently than women. Women tend to disclose more often. So women will say, I've never done this before, or I'm not certain of my skills in this area. Usually the women that are a little more comfortable and a little more confident will follow up with, you know, I feel confident that I can learn, or I'm a fast learner and I'm committed to learning, or I'm ambitious. But it's usually a dialogue where men will typically not call it out. So you don't really find out that they don't have the skill unless you're able to suss it out in the interview until they're on the job, and it maybe takes them a little longer to complete a task that maybe shouldn't have taken as long had they had the actual skill.
Now, later on in the interview process, you get to a point for a lot of job candidates, and that's salary negotiation. Where do you see differences in the way that men and women navigate through that process?
So men tend to negotiate for the job they want, and women tend to negotiate for the job they have or the job they believe they're qualified for. And so if there isn't a standard on comp for role, that's typically, in my experience, where the disconnect happens. Men negotiate higher and women wind up having to catch up for their, essentially, their entire careers. One of the ways to eliminate that is equal pay for equal job. So regardless of the role that the person came to the new role with and or were qualified for, if they're doing the same job, it might make sense for the company to consider paying the same amount of money regardless. I think what it doesn't take into account is we all come to a job with a different level of experience. And so you eliminate some of that, but in the process, you eliminate a good bit of the bias and the ability of the candidate from a negotiation perspective as well.
And so what advice do you give people, and women in particular, to improve their experience during the process as a job candidate and improve their chances of being hired?
You know, one of the things, and we actually have it on our website at Relay, is we encourage folks to apply for jobs even if they only check 50% of the boxes. And so I constantly tell women, stretch yourself. You know, there's a level of bravery that's associated with applying for a job that you're not fully qualified for. There's the unknown that can be daunting or intimidating. But I think with the right coaching and the right support, and for the company to have the right frame of mind. I mean, for some roles, you can't afford not to have the experiences that you've listed. And I think that that's fine, and that applies to some subset of roles that you're looking for. But there's others where people can stretch. And so knowing which ones you can compromise on and which ones you maybe can't should be communicated to the candidate on the front end of the process, and also from the recruiter. You know, when candidates are applying and or in the job ad. So I think there's a number of places where communication can make the process smoother and more clear for all of the candidates. But as a general rule, if you've got a confidant as a candidate, as a job seeker, as a woman in particular, or a coach or somebody that you rely on for support, get that guidance, get that support going in, but be confident in your skills, be confident in your ability. And if you know what you're going for, go after it.
Now, I want to broaden this out a bit. How would you advise people, men or women, who have skills in a particular industry or a particular sector, and they're concerned about not being able to take those skills and transfer them to another industry where they feel this could work, but they're hesitant and afraid to do so? How do you advise people in that position?
You know, I get the question often, actually. And what I say is industries are easy to learn. Even complex industries are easy to learn. What are harder to teach are the actual skills. So we hire people all the time that don't have any payments or any logistics industry experience. And we're well prepared to teach those things. Because we're a smaller company and we're growing as quickly as we are, we aren't as equipped to teach people the actual function. And so oftentimes we're looking for folks that have the baseline of skills to do the job, but we don't ever require that they have the knowledge of the industry. And so I think one of the ways that you learn really fast is finding an industry that you're passionate about. I tell people all the time, find the team that you want and the product that you're excited about. Everything else will come. But if you're not excited about the people and you're not excited about the business, it's hard to get excited about learning something new when none of the elements of it are interesting.
All right, that's career coach and Relay Payments Chief People Officer Amy Zimmerman. Amy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, JR. I appreciate it.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.